Welcome to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com TipCast series focusing on enterprise data integration methods. In this explanation of enterprise application integration, you'll learn how EAI technology works, how it's commonly used, and the advantages and disadvantages of this method. Our expert for this TipCast series is Mark Madsen, president of Third Nature, a market research and consulting firm focused on business intelligence, data integration, and data management. Mark is an award-winning architect and CTO whose work has been featured in numerous industry publications. He is a principal author of Clickstream Data Warehousing and teaches classes on data warehousing and open source for the Data Warehousing Institute. And now, let's hear Mark tell us more about enterprise application integration.
Enterprise application integration, or EAI products, have been around for a long time now. And the term itself is a rather broad coverage of many different types of integration tools. There are different technologies from development tools or development environments like application servers. And there are also messaging tools or messaging buses, messaging queuing services. And there's also been kind of a rebranding in this market, calling things an ESB or Enterprise Service Bus, which is really sort of the future or being billed as the future of EAI, which we're seeing a move from proprietary technologies or proprietary programming interfaces to open standards-based interfaces that mean that any tool that complies with those standards can interoperate with any other tool. The focus of an EAI tool is transactional integration. So what we're looking at with an EAI tool is supporting application-level integration rather than accessing things at a data level. That means that the focus of these tools or the target user is going to be developers, specifically application developers. These aren't the kind of tools that you put in the hands of a DBA or a data modeler or a data architect, somebody in the data-oriented realm, because the way the tools are designed is to support that application development and the integration of possibly multiple systems together at a transaction level. The kind of characteristics that these tools have in common is this: with this focus on transactions, they generally have development environments associated with them. They require programming to application programming interfaces. They're not good at moving large volumes of data. So you're looking at low volumes of data for a given transaction, but also very high transaction rates. So you'll see much more in the way of concurrent activity and point-to-point activity. The idea being that you're doing point-to-point integration between applications, or in the case of something like a service bus or a hub, you are publishing an event as it occurs, and then anybody who's interested in that event receives that event and processes it at the endpoint. This means that there's minimal transformation capability and very little metadata available in these environments, because the idea is that the intelligence is built into the endpoints, the applications that either generate or consume transactions. And the EAI tool facilitates integration between these by making a common interface available so that everybody talks to the same interface. And under the hood, somehow that event will be moved or published so that a receiver can get it. The transformation then, the use of the data that's carried by that event, is written as programming logic on the endpoints, which is a very different model from an ETL tool or, say, a federation tool, where the intelligence is really built at the center rather than at the periphery. So these tools are very strong when you're doing application integration, you've got transactions and transaction rates, low data volumes, and real-time activities, or very low time latency activities. They also have the ability to do bidirectional flows of data, which is something you typically cannot do very well with an ETL or federation tool. So they're suited towards an environment where you have much more interactivity going on. Much less robust metadata, they're not as good at connecting to data sources and targets because they're designed at a higher level than that, and they have very minimal transformation. So they're suited towards a very different set of needs. What we're seeing with these tools is that they are beginning to add some features. A few of the EAI vendors on the market have started to add data federation capabilities because the ability to provide a view of data that may be going across multiple applications is a very common thing that happens in development. And rather than trying to build all of the semantics of that into your code, you can embody that in a federated view, make that available as a web service or an EAI service, and then call that from within the application. So these tools are evolving some level of the data integration capabilities that we see coming out of the federation space. And that makes them, to some extent, overlap with these tools. But at the same time, they're still very much geared towards application development and a very different style of interface that most people in the BI and data warehousing community may not be familiar with.
Again, that was Mark Madsen, president of Third Nature, a market research and consulting firm. For more information or to contact Mark directly, visit thirdnature.net. You can also find this link on the page where you downloaded this podcast. And for more tutorials from our Enterprise Data Integration Tipcast series, as well as articles, podcasts, and other resources about enterprise data integration, please continue to turn to searchdatamanagement.com. Thank you again for listening to the searchdatamanagement.com Tipcast.